please be seated. And if you could keep open in front of you the passage that Hazel rang earlier, which is on page 103 of the New Testament parts of the Bibles. I usually start my sermons with some description or illustration of love from present time, and I'm not going to do that this morning. I'm going to do it entirely differently. I'm going to first of all read to you, and I'm not asking you to turn to this, a couple of verses from Romans 5. And endurance produces character, and character produces hope. And hope does not disappoint us, because God's love has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit, which has been given to us. We heard in the first lesson that God is love, and that's where our love comes from. So I'm going to begin with words from a man who knew all about what it was to receive God's love, Martin Luther. And these are his words, not mine. Listen carefully, but the secret is there. Therefore, if we recognize the great and precious things which are given us, as Paul says, Romans 5:5, our hearts will be filled by the Holy Spirit with the love which makes us free, joyful, almighty workers and conquerors over all tribulations, servants of our neighbors, and yet lords of all. For those who do not recognize the gifts bestowed upon them through Christ, Christ has been born in vain. They go their way with their works and shall never come to taste or feel those things. Just as our neighbor is in need and lacks that in which we abound, so we were in need before God and lacked his mercy. Hence, as our heavenly Father has in Christ freely come to our aid, we also ought freely to help our neighbor through our body and its works, and each one should become, as it were, a Christ to the other, that we may be Christ to one another, and Christ may be the same in all, that is, we may be truly Christians. Martin Luther was saying, in effect, Christians have had the love of God poured into their hearts by the Holy Spirit as a gift. And if they, the Christians, don't use this gift, then Jesus Christ has been born for no purpose. Return to the theme of last week. Jeremiah's prophecy was that the Lord would put his law in us Christians and write it upon our hearts. That is the law. Without the Holy Spirit, we are unable to keep God's law. Just as the law has been written on our hearts, so the love of God has been poured into those hearts, so that we may obey the law. How did the lawyer sum up the law? Luke's Gospel, verse 27 of chapter 10, don't turn to it. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, and with all your soul, and with all your strength, and with all your mind, and your neighbor as yourself. Jesus confirmed that the lawyer had correctly interpreted this summary of the law. So the Christian today, in the power of the Spirit, loves with not his or her own love, but a God-given love, and thus obeys the law. And this love this God-given love begins at home, that is, within the body of Christians, of which we are one, that is, here within the church family. And this is acknowledged by St. Paul, writing in 1 Corinthians 12:25, that there may be no discord in the body, but that the members may have the same care for one another. See how it's coming together, why we should love one another. And now we take this question of love back to those words we heard read earlier. A new commandment I give to you, that you love one another, even as I have loved you, that you also love one another. By this all men will know that you are my disciples, if you have love one for another. Do we understand, therefore, that this new covenant that was spoken of last week has a new commandment to go with it? Love with a love like Jesus' love for us. No wonder we need to be given that love by the Holy Spirit, because it is God-made, not man-made. How did Jesus love? Let's look at his love under four headings. One, Jesus loved without a sign of selfishness. Never did he think of himself. In his earthly ministry, he never stopped work. For example, we read in Luke's Gospel, chapter 9, verse 10, that after his apostles had returned from their mission, Jesus took them and withdrew apart to a city called Bethsaida. Now, it is quite clearly implied there that they were going to have a time of quiet and relaxation after the mission. The crowds learnt about their movements and followed Jesus. He then didn't send them away and say, I'm busy, I've got a time of quiet to have, but rather ministered to them. The next instant was the feeding of the 5,000 after Jesus had spoken to the crowds. He never thought of himself, he always thought of other people. Now the second heading. Jesus loved sacrificially, and I'm not going to say much on this because we know. No demand was too great for him, even the demand that he should die a cruel death. Love went to extreme measures. Love took Jesus Christ to the sacrifice on the cross. The third heading. When dealing with people, especially his disciples, Jesus showed deep understanding of them. Within the close group of 12 apostles, Jesus understood them. We see it all over the Gospels. Peter's impetuosity, John's love, Thomas's lack of faith. Jesus knew all about them, but he accepted them as they were. We can see that too in Jesus' attitude to people at large. He understood the Canaanite woman, the widow of Nain, and not least Zacchaeus. So often the power of Jesus' love was in his understanding of people. And now the fourth heading. His love was a forgiving love. There was always in Jesus compassion which led to forgiveness. Remember the healing of the paralytic whose friends let him down through the roof and Jesus' words, your sins are forgiven. So we find that Jesus' love, which we are called to emulate, is selfless, sacrificial, understanding, and forgiving. Again, I say, if we are going to copy that sort of attitude, we need the love that comes from God. Our own human love will not be sufficient. From this point, let's see how we should apply these two verses from St. John's Gospel. Again, I'll read them. A new commandment I give unto you, that you love one another, even as I have loved you, that you also love one another. By this all men will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another. I say to you, which many preachers have said to you in the past, that there are some verses in the Bible, Old and New Testament, which we need to learn so that we have them in our hearts, and they actually move us forward as Christians. So don't, because in this generation we're not ones for learning things by heart, don't think it's not a good thing to learn some verses by heart. Realize that the gift, and it is a gift, to make a decision to love, and it is a decision, is received by all Christians from God through the working of the Holy Spirit. Say yes to the gift, and then, like a sailing boat, moving with the power of the wind behind it, begin like Jesus within the church family here. You don't have to go miles here. Begin like Jesus to love others selflessly, sacrificially, with understanding and a forgiving nature. And don't please leave love for the leaders. Everyone, as a Christian, receives the gift of love by the Holy Spirit. Now let's look at these four headings so far as we are concerned. To have an unselfish love for others will mean that we do something when we know that someone is in need. I'm not going to be specific about the need, but we hear every day of people who need something. Don't sit back. Do something. Even if we are loaded up with things, even if we have a lot of things on our plate, do something. To be unselfish in the giving of love means that we make time for other people, maybe sit patiently at their bedside, or go and see them once a week about something else, even though we have a lot to do at home. If we read the Gospels, we notice that Jesus never rushed, always took his time when ministering to somebody. And that makes a difference to the person being ministered to. If they don't feel that you're wanting to rush out of the door 10 minutes after you've arrived at the house, always be there for that person until you know that that has been long enough. It's a wonderful thing to really care for people. To have an unselfish love means also that we don't just fulfill somebody's immediate need and then forget about them. To be like Jesus is to follow up that person's need by prayer and again go the extra mile. That's what it means to be unselfish as a Christian. Two, to be sacrificial in our love follows on from the unselfish love to which I have referred. They overlap. To be sacrificial is, straight from Jesus, is to be a cross bearer. Do things that put a burden, not on somebody else, on us. Have, to quote St. Paul again, the love that never ends, the love that bears all things, the love that believes all things, the love that hopes all things, the love that endures all things for other people. If Jesus, in love for us, sacrificed himself, even unto the cross, then to be like him is to be a person for whom no demand on his or her time or efforts is too much. People tell me again and again that when they do something in love for another, the giving brings them happiness. Maybe, but the contrary can be true. To give in love can be a sacrifice and hurt. Think about Jesus again. Three. Third heading. Love needs to be understanding. There is nothing worse than a cold, rigorous love done just from duty. Within the church family, we come to know the people with whom we share fellowship. Like us, we're all human beings. They have moods and weaknesses. If we are to act in love like Jesus, we shall minister to people in love where they are, not where we'd like them to be, where they are, and have a love which really understands them where they are and accepts them. And we don't love just because we are required to love, but actually, with the help of the Holy Spirit, love people sincerely where they are, as they are, warts and all. And you know the example. I don't need to mention him again. Fourth heading. Do you remember Peter's tears after he had denied Jesus? We heard the first part of that story in the second reading this morning. But Peter knew Jesus forgave him. It's implied that he knew. Remember how Jesus forgave our sins by dying on the cross. For us to love others is to love with a forgiving attitude, even when the person we are showing love to has hurt us with a sharp word or attitude, maybe recently or sometime in the past. The answer is to love that person as if that sharp word or attitude had never occurred. A love which is not a forgiving love is not a Christian love at all, but a cold, legalistic attitude which will shrivel up just like a leaf after autumn into winter shrivels up and disappears into the ground. Love like Jesus Christ, and others in Crowborough will say, see how those Christians love each other, and they really will. And with the new enlarged church due to be opened soon, our witness to others in Crowborough will increase in significance as new people come in to see the new church. And we long to see the church, the new church, that is, filled to overflowing. And people who are on the fringe or who are not Christians need to have a witness that Jesus is alive today. And that witness will be us if we have that special love that comes from God. And I conclude as I began with Romans 5:5. Here we are again. And endurance produces character, and character produces hope. And hope does not disappoint us, because God's love has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit, which has been given to us. After this sermon, in a moment or two, there's going to be absolute quiet. And in that time, let us open our hearts to God, that his love may be poured into them as a gift through the Holy Spirit, who has been given to us as Christians. Then, may we love each other in the power of the Holy Spirit. Amen.